Now I have a pre-sermon that's going to turn also into a post-sermon for you today. Because we never know exactly who's all going to show up to church. And Lynn, why don't you come down this way? Because you can't see up there. I'll let you pick any seat you like. And I got my coloring book. It's already turned yellow, the pages. I've had it for a long, long time. And it's called the Bible coloring book. Now, some people think the Bible has really nothing to share with you. You know that? They don't think that anything in it is real. They think that they were born with a clean slate. That means that they don't have any sin. And that they can take on the whole world on their own. Okay? Now, I'll let you know that the Bible says that when you were even a little kid, even littler than a little kid, that even before you were in the womb, that God automatically already had a plan for your life. And the Bible tells a story, you know, baby Jesus, John baptized Jesus, and has a plan just like this outlined for you. Now, there's a secret. Well, it's not a very well-kept secret, but it is, because the secret is this, is that when you come to Christ in Jesus, you just don't have Jesus in you, God, yes, but you also have the third person of the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And you know, when God the Holy Spirit comes in you, it really just fills out your life vividly, doesn't it? It does. That's the pre-sermon. And when we get to the end of the sermon, we get to do it again. Because guess what? Repetition builds memory. Okay? I've been watching your lake grow, Beth. Now, the other night, at Tubbs Springs Road, I heard, oversprung. Because guess what was going on? It was some storm, wasn't it? Blew through here. Whoo! Now, I remember years and years ago, it was a crazy storm, and I'm driving, okay? And the windshield wipers are going dum di gum dum dum dum, you know, like this. Like this. Why are you even on the road, you know? And the wind seemed to be coming from all directions. The road had enough curves and bends, I couldn't tell what direction I was going, north, south, east, or west. Now, in the downpour and dark skies, unfamiliar roads, and the day some years ago with no GPS, only God's positioning system, you know. And guess what? I was truly lost. Ever happened to you? You were truly lost. Now, I know I've had at times when my life felt just like that moment. In a day-to-day basis in my life, I felt lost. Confused. What is the next direction do I head in? Am I at the center of God's will? What God wants me to do. Today I want to ask you, are you in the center of God's will? Right now, are you in the center of God's will for your life? Now God tells Jeremiah, 1st chapter, verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Wow. Before I or you were a glint in our parents' eyes, before God already knew us. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that unbelievable? And He already has a care for you. Now, God gets even more specific about our lives. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and plans to give you a future. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Now, I think we need to back up a bit here. So these words of God become practical in your life and in my life. Lots of times we read this stuff on Sunday, and practicality about it goes out the window. You know, will you really remember what Pastor Dave preached about on Tuesday or Wednesday? Now, I remember back when I was pastoring and preaching every week, people would ask me on Wednesday, what is it you preached about last week? And it was kind of like asking me what I had for supper 2 days ago. Because I was already thinking about working on the next sermon for the next Sunday morning. Well, oh, my goodness. I want you to think back over your life. Remember a handful of times, kind of pivotal moments, that God showed up big time in your life. I mean, there was no mistaking. God was there. Or you received His direction. As the song goes, a way where there seems to be no way. Thank you, sweetie. Now, I want you to think of maybe 3 pivotal moments, 5, 7. I mean, you know, you might want to write them down. You have a chance. Sometimes there's a little piece of paper in the pew or in your purse or whatever. Don't rip a page out of the Bible, okay, that's in front of you. But, you know, you can write it down, but or keep it on your hand, you know, like this. Sometimes God seems far away and we're struggling for direction. And we call out to God, I need a sign. Up close to Midland, I'm driving down the expressway, and I remember driving on the expressway, seeing a big black billboard. Ever see that one? And it says, this is a sign. God. Now, we want to have God show up and give us messages like that, don't we? We want Him to map it out just so plain that we can't miss it. Now, I will take a few moments to show you my list. Should be up there right now. Pivotal points in my life. Now, there's a disclaimer I got to give right away off the bat. If I would think a little longer, some other events or experiences would probably take over a spot here or there, like when I accepted Jesus in Olympia at the Billy Graham, and I was really little. Well, Olympia hasn't been around for a long time, has it, you hockey fans? You know, that's the Olympia Stadium down in Detroit. Most of you are probably young enough to maybe not even remember it existed back then. But I remember there accepting Jesus Christ, Billy Graham. I didn't even put that on my list, okay? But that was a pivotal moment. And then there's times like I proposed to my wife and, you know, all kinds of things I don't have on this list. But I grabbed a few. First one. 4 to 5 years old. Okay, we can go to the next slide. See the black hole right down there? That's Shook Drain. That's downtown New Haven, Michigan. Okay? And 68, 69 years ago, those trees weren't there. Okay? That's a recent photo of it. That was behind the house across the street from the parsonage where we lived. And there was a little girl, and she was like a playmate at times, and I would go over to her and visit her at her house over there, and she would come over and play in our yard and that kind of stuff, okay? Behind their house is the Shook Drain. Somehow, I don't remember how, I fell off the wall. The wall was probably, 4-year-old. How high can a 4-year-old reach? There I am. I fell off the wall, and my fingertips are holding on to the top of the concrete wall. My shoes are on that rock in the creek below. I'm trying not to slip. I'm looking up. I can't move. Help! 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 And then I saw my little playmate friend. She ran away. Ah! And I'm calling out for help. I must have been there for about 4 days. No. It felt like that. And I knew my mom would get so upset if I got my new shoes all wet down in the creek. And it was deep. But for a 4-year-old, that's deep. I called out, anyone, God included, help, to come to my rescue. That's the first time I remember calling out for help and needing help. My playmate ran and got her mother, and her mother came and reached down, grabbed both my arms, and pulled me up. onto the list again. Number 2 on the list, hospital bed. I was 13, and we discovered that I needed to have kidney surgery. Very unique for that time. They thought I had cancer. Praise God, I didn't. I had a birth defect. So they went in, and they took the kidney out. My doctor took it out. He saw that in the birth process and stuff, where your kidneys turn over, my left one didn't turn all the way, but it functioned just enough so that it was keeping the kidney kind of alive, but there was a lot of it had already was beginning to decay and stuff. They cut off all the bad part of it, and guess what? They stuck it back in. And they didn't want me to move, so I'm laid on this by my back for a week, and I'm going crazy in pain. Have you ever made a deal with God? Now, you know where I'm going with this one. Okay, you can fill in the blank. Dear God, if you take away the pain or take me home. If you don't take me home, take away the pain. If you do that, I will do whatever you ask. Your will. Okay, now be honest. You ever have one of those prayers? Yeah, come on. A bunch of you are lying right through your... I can tell. You know, you've had those moments. God, I will do whatever you ask. Back to the list. Next slide. I'm in college at John Wesley College in Owosso, Michigan. I'm in my final year there, senior, going to graduate soon, and planning to head to seminary, Asbury Seminary in Wilmore, Kentucky. The application for seminary, for the grad school there, had a box with a question. And I had filled out the whole rest of the application. All of it. Except check this one box here or this other box here. The one box said, MDiv, Master of Divinity, which means you're going to become a preacher. The other box said MAR, Master of Art and Religion, which meant that you were going to be probably a teacher. And you had to check one of those two. Now, my dad was a preacher. I knew what being a preacher was. I mean, I lived my whole life in the parsonage. And guess what? I didn't want to be a preacher. God, I will be a missionary. I will be a teacher in a Christian school. I'll be a church administrator. I will do any of those other things, but not a preacher. I remember that night I had to mail it that next day for it to get there. Thank you. I had to mail it that next day so it would get there in time for my registration to be in. It's in the middle of the night, and I'm there, out there, wrestling with God. You know, no, he didn't put his finger on my hip and place it out of socket, but I'm wrestling with God all night long. I did not want to check the MDiv box. No way. And finally, in the middle of the night, I went into my dorm room there, took out the ink pen, and went and I checked the box MDiv, lay down in the bed and fell asleep like a baby, knowing that I was in the center of God's will. He called his marker in. Remember? Hospital bed. I will do whatever you ask. He called his marker. Zoom, bunch of years forward. I'm a pastor on a church bicycle hike camp. Excited because my nephew was now old enough and big enough to be on the bike hike with me, Kyle. And he's a big guy. And so as me getting older, you know, and stuff, pedaling my bicycle, you use every little trick you can. And I was at the end of the line of all the bikes, and I just tucked right in behind him. Big guy took all the wind away from me. And I'm riding, in fact, I'm riding tight. My wheel is about 2 inches to the left of his wheel and 3 inches up into his wheel. Just like this, okay? And I'm tucked in there, and we're going across Canada heading on towards Niagara Falls. One thing about Kyle, he wasn't as sure on the bicycle as what I thought he should have been. Kyle zigged and I zagged. And the next thing I know, I'm going over the handlebars of my bicycle. My bicycle is shooting out into the middle of the road. It's a big road, fairly busy road. And I could hear the tires squealing behind me, car tires. And when I'm going, even before I even hit the pavement, my whole life just went fast forward, you know, like the movie, all those things you did wrong, all those things you did right, all those things you should have done better, everything, my whole life just went right through me. And I knew, with the tires squealing behind me, there was no way that that car could miss me or at least not crush my bicycle. Somehow, in that moment of a flare prayer, you know what a flare prayer is? Where you get the flare gun out and you go, poof, help, you know. That flare goes up, it's a prayer that you send up, you know, to God. Somehow that car made it around me and my bicycle and just kept on going. Well, the car missed me, but the pavement didn't. So I had a month or two or whatever to think about all those things that went through that fast forward in my mind as the broken bones healed from that fall. Save me was my prayer, and God did. Now, years later, life had been going on, and then my marriage was crumbling. I felt all my life was in ruin. The whole world seemed to be spinning like I was going down a whirlpool. How could I stay in the ministry? Could God use me? I could not see anything but darkness. Fortunately, God has a much better view of things around than what I did. God restored me and blessed me further in ministry. Pivotal, God brought along a beautiful young lady. Came into my life and became my wife, and God began to build a new family unit. That's only 3 of my 6 kids. Now, life keeps going on, doesn't it? And I'm going to put this as a pivotal moment that there's twists and turns, navigating those twists and turns, lows and highs of ministry. God provided direction even on days when there seemed to be no way. Sometimes those directions took a while, or for me to even seek His direction. didn't all happen instantaneously. Sometimes they did. Now, in all things, in all moments, give thanks because He cares for you. Can you say that with me? He cares for you. He does. You like my lilies? I just went outside. They haven't bloomed yet this year, and they're even 4 to 6 inches taller this year than what they were in that picture. They're getting close to 8 foot. I give thanks. The lily is a sign of what? Resurrection, new life, new being. Now, those slides that you've just watched have almost 70 years of time in this list, with probably at least 100 additional moments that could have made the list. Now take a moment now. Think about those moments that seared across your mind. Those 3 or 5 I asked you to do earlier. Think about them. Was God in that moment? I doubt you experienced those things by chance. In that moment, did God say, perhaps you were born for such a time as this, just like He told Esther? Or did He supply people to hold up your arms like He did for Moses as God provided the victory? Remember, as long as Moses' arms were up, the Israelites were winning, and when his arms came down, they began to lose. They figured out, and they had one guy hold up an arm on this side and another guy hold up an arm on that side. And they won the victory. God wants to be actively guiding you, just like Natalie was talking about. I will instruct you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Psalm 32:8. But Pastor, you don't know how tough my life's been. I believe God has put His hand on me years ago, but. All the doors seem to close, and I've been drifting, or life threw curveballs, and the vision I had seems impossible. I want you to read this passage of Scripture with me out loud. It should be up on the screen. Yep. Ready? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. Remember that part, submit to Him? You don't have to wrestle God all night to check the box. I would have been much better off weeks before that to just go ahead, okay, God, I get it. You want me to be a preacher? I acknowledge that, and I will trust you in that direction. Remember, the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of His heart through all generations, the psalmist writes in Psalm 33. But Pastor, I messed up. I mean, big time. I chose my own way, not His. And now I don't think I can be in His will. I'm too old, too in debt, too weak, too sinful, too whatever, you can fill in the blank. Listen, Paul wrote in Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, God's will for you in Jesus. God's will is for you to do what? Give thanks in all circumstances. In Jesus. Do you realize what He is saying? No matter where on the map of your life you are right now, God has a perfect plan to be laid out before you in Jesus from this moment forward. Doesn't matter what happened back there, yesterday even, this morning in the car, the fight on the way into church. It doesn't have to, you know. God has a perfect plan to be laid out before you in Jesus for right now. All He wants is for you to turn to Him, boldly approach the throne of grace, receive the forgiveness, follow His direction, and He leads you into His perfect will. Paul writes, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those called according to whose purpose? His purpose. When you were born, was this the truth about you? No, it wasn't. It wasn't at all, because guess what? When you were born, God already had the outline in your life. And He has already made the invitation for you to accept Him. And when you do that, what transpires and takes place? The Holy Spirit does what? Fills in all the gaps, doesn't He? That one's feeding the people. The woman at the well, all those circumstances, just like you and me. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Jesus, we give thanks for this day. My life needs Your direction. Forgive me of my shortcomings, of my prideful self-direction. Lead me in Your righteousness. I give my life to You. Amen.